Open up your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And I've titled the message this morning, Tradition or Truth? Tradition or Truth? But just before we get into the message, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, thank you for this time today in your word. And Father, just before the message, I want to pause and just ask you to work. Ask you to work in all of our lives through the preaching of your word. And pray, Father God, that you would help me, Lord, to just be an instrument in your hand. I don't want people to see me or hear me, but I want them to hear your word. So Father, I ask for you to work in our lives and change us because of your word. And we'll be sure to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick little review. Last week we saw Jesus quickly send his disciples away after feeding the 5,000. And the people were amazed with his miracles. And remember, they wanted to take him by force and make him their king. And from John's gospel, we saw that Jesus preached that he was the bread of life and that he came to save them. And he did not come that first time to lead them over Rome and to provide free bread for them. And after that message, many people left him. They no longer followed him. They wanted the crown without the cross. So Jesus goes up into a mountain alone to pray. And while he was alone in the mountain, remember, he sent his disciples back across the Sea of Galilee. And when he's up in the mountain alone praying, he sees the disciples struggling in another storm. Right? And this time he's not in the boat with them, like he was in the previous storm we saw. So what does he do this time? He comes walking to them on the water. And of course, they were startled. They were, I think, more than startled. Startled is not the right word. They were probably petrified. And what does he do? He comes into the boat, he calms the storm, and he also calms their heart. And then they reach the other side. And that's where we are, on the other side. They've reached the other side. We also saw at the end of last week's message that while there, he was teaching, he was healing. And we'll see today that as they're there together, there are Pharisees and scribes who came from Jerusalem to check up on this itinerant preacher. And today we see Jesus warning the people of the Pharisees and the scribes, warning them in particular of their tradition and their trickery. Okay? And so this is a message that I think is very important for our time, very important for each one of us, because we know of a lot of people who are caught up under the umbrella of religion now, who are caught up in the traditions of men and the trickery of some of these so-called pastors. And we need to be sure that we ourselves don't elevate tradition over truth. Okay? So notice with me the first point, verses 1 to 5, tradition. I couldn't help when I was putting this message together to think of Fiddler on the Roof. Any of you ever see Fiddler on the Roof? That is one of my all-time favorite movies, okay? And of course, you know, in that movie, tradition, you know, I just said it's one of my favorite movies. I forgot the lead's name. What's his name? Topol, right? No. That's who plays him. Tevye. Tevye. Thank you. So Tevye says, he's talking to the camera, and I love that, that interaction he has with the camera. He says, you know, we always wear hats, we have beards, and we wear these prayer shawls, you know, with these tassels. Why do we do it? Tradition. But why do we do it? We don't know. And isn't that so much the case sometimes with tradition? Why do you do it? I don't know. We've always done it that way. So notice tradition, the delegation from Jerusalem, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. So here comes this delegation from Jerusalem to check on Jesus. And remember, whenever the Pharisees and the scribes were around, they always expected respect, to be noticed, to be honored, you know. Here they are, you know, ooh, you know, the big guys are here, you know, we better be careful. And they find fault. You ever meet somebody or know somebody that no matter what, they always seek to find fault? You can go to this, whatever, conference, party, get together, whatever it is, and it could be the best thing that ever happened, but there's just was one little, you know, and what do they dwell on? That one thing. That one negative. And you're almost like, were we at the same get together? You know, so these always seeking, though, to find fault. Verse 2. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. So they find fault. And what they find fault in, the disciples had not ceremonially washed their hands. Friends, this has nothing to do with being sanitary. Okay? This has nothing to do with, you know, should you wash your hands before you eat? Of course. Okay? But it has nothing to do with that. This has to do with the tradition of making a show out of ceremonially washing your hands. And ceremonially doing, you know, all these other things, washings of pots. Now, and it's, notice it says the word defiled. They ate with defiled hands. This does not mean dirty. It means common, profane, or vulgar. How dare you sit down to eat without hands being ceremonially washed? What a disgrace that is. You see what's going on here? It has nothing to do with dirt under your fingernails. Now, kids, do not go home and say, I don't have to wash my hands. Pastor Dan said we don't have to do that before we eat. That's not what this is about. Okay? It's about this huge ceremony they would go through. And washing in their hands and making a big deal out of it. Notice he mentions the tradition of the elders. They said you needed to ceremonially wash your hands, pots, pans, dishes, etc. Okay? And it was all about the ceremony. Okay? Now, the tradition of the elders. Hold that thought in the back of your mind just for a very short time. Look at verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to what? The tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands. Okay? Now just picture this. Here come the Pharisees, and every time they sit down to eat, their servants come, they wash their hands, They make this big ordeal out of this. Now I am no longer profane. I am holy. And I can sit down. What does washing your hands have to do with holiness? Nothing. Okay? Absolutely nothing. Okay? Look at... And what he's telling Jesus is, why don't your disciples obey the tradition of the elders? Look at Acts 15. After the church got started and they get going a little bit and Gentiles are getting saved and they're coming into the church and people are arguing. The Jews are arguing and saying the Gentiles have to obey our laws. And James wisely stands up and says in Acts 15:10, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" So what were these traditions? A heavy yoke that we aren't able to bear. And God has taken that yoke away from us. And we've yoked together with Him to do a different work. Why would we want to go back? And here come the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're saying, "How come you don't obey the tradition of the elders?" Now I want to pause here a minute and give us a Jewish history lesson. Okay. Do you know how many commandments there are in the Old Testament? There's 10 is part of it. There's 613. Okay? So, the Jewish people had the written law. 613 commandments from the Old Testament. This is called the Torah. The law. The Torah. Okay? But they also had the oral law, which is the tradition of the elders. So, just in case 613 aren't enough laws to obey, let's make some more. But they also had the oral law. The oral law was called the Masorah, which was the teaching of the Hebrew rabbis from Moses onward. And this was oral law. This was everybody's interpretation of what the law was saying. It was laws made to help you from breaking the Torah. So what are they doing? They're piling law upon law upon law, which nobody can do. The Torah and the Masorah together are called the Halakha, okay? And after the destruction of the Roman of the temple by the Romans, what had previously only been committed to oral testimony among the scholars came to be written down in a work called the Mishnah. So they wrote down all these oral laws. And now you've got to wear this and eat this and do this and don't mix this with that and all these laws to how not to, you know, don't work on the Sabbath. Okay, well, what is considered work? They wrote laws to consider, you know, that were considered, how far can I walk on the Sabbath? Well, you can't walk this far, you know, and all these laws piled up upon laws. And the Pharisees and the scribes put more weight on the Masorah, or the traditions, than the Torah, or the written law. And that carried more weight. And whenever Jesus questions them, understand something, friends, He is not questioning the Torah. He's questioning the Masorah, the traditions of them. Okay? You have heard it said, but I say. So again, he's getting them to see. Now, what about us? Traditions. Right? What about us? Not all traditions are bad. Don't think that I'm... Traditions are not bad. But when tradition is held above the written word, something's desperately wrong. You probably have a lot of family traditions, right? Sandy's family, when I married into them, I said, boy, they're weird. They had a lot of weird, you know, every Christmas Eve we gathered together and we washed our face with a $20 gold piece, and that was supposed to bring us money the next year. Never worked. Our family, every New Year's meal, you had to eat peas because peas was green, the same color of money. And you had to eat peas on New Year's so you would have money the rest of the year. None of us are rich. So we ate all those miserable, rotten peas for nothing. We washed our face with a $20 gold piece for nothing when we should have turned in the $20 gold piece and got a lot of money for it. So I'm not saying these things, you know, some are just goofy traditions. But what we're talking about here is not the goofy family traditions, right? It's not, you know, okay, every Christmas we get together. That's all fine. But what these are were traditions of men that were held higher than the Scriptures. But what about us? Do we do that sometimes? You know? Are we hung up on tradition? You know, a very popular phrase that we hear over and over again in fundamental circles, we never did it that way before. Now, okay, there are certain things we should not change. But what's a tradition? You know what I'm saying? Is it a tradition? Is there anything really wrong with it? You know, be thinking about these things. You know, it's very easy for us to look out and see other religions, and we'll talk about that in a moment, who have traditions that are held higher. But we got to make sure that we don't hold up certain traditions, certain sacred horses higher than, you know, like wearing a tie on Sunday. Is it really necessary? Is it? No. But we do it. You know? Maybe we'll have a tie-less Sunday next week. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Amen. Some of you guys are already practicing that. But anyway. But no, I digress. But seriously, we're going to see in a moment that this is serious. And this next section, so this next section I've titled it Tricksters. So these traditions were held so high, these traditions of men were held so high that they were actually tricking the people into doing things they thought were required, but they weren't. Jesus answers with Scripture. So, of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, they question the disciples. Then they come to Jesus and says, how come? And Jesus answers them with Bible. Okay? He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah, that's the Greek way of saying Isaiah, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We won't turn there, but that's a quote from Isaiah 29:13. Okay? Jesus said, what did he say? Oh, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is what? Far. And you know, think about a lot of things that people do in the name of religion. They honor God with their lips, but their heart is so far away. And notice Jesus' charge against them. You teach the traditions of men as doctrine, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So you're holding your traditions, you're holding your commandments up as doctrine. You're holding your commandments up as doctrine, and you're teaching them as that. And you cast aside the word of God and rather hold to your traditions. Verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. So, actually, Jesus is saying, it's not just the tradition, but in holding up the tradition, you cast aside the Word of God. And it's just your tradition you want the people to obey. And then he says, you reject the Word of God for your own commandment, verse 9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Notice the progression. You hold up your traditions. You hold up your traditions as doctrine, as correct teaching. In doing so, you cast aside the Word of God. And even worse than that, you know what you're doing? You're rejecting the Word of God. Who were the Pharisees and the scribes? They were the teachers of Jesus' day. They were the people in charge of the house of Israel. They were the ones who were supposed to, who should have known that the Messiah was coming. And they were the ones who should have known that Jesus was the Messiah. But here is the problem. And you can say, you know, maybe some of you have asked these questions as you read through the Bible. Why couldn't the Pharisees have seen what Jesus did and what he said? Why couldn't they have seen it? Here's the answer. You hold up your traditions. You cast aside the Word of God. Ultimately, you reject the Word of God. Jesus comes preaching the Word of God, which they reject. And Jesus comes preaching against their traditions, which they accept, instant conflict. Here's the struggle. Here's the problem. Jesus is hitting them where they live, so to speak. It's not, Jesus never anywhere questioned the Word of God anywhere. If anything, he held the Word of God up, and he taught the Word of God and the true meaning of the Word of God, but he preached against the traditions of men. And then Jesus gives an example. Verse 10, the written Torah, the written word, the Torah. This is from the Bible. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Now these are quotes from Exodus 20, verse 12, which is the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, right? And then the second part of the verse is a quote from Exodus 21, 17. If you don't honor your father and mother, you could die. So the written word, honor your father and mother, verse 10. And whosoever curses their father or mother, let him die the death. But notice the oral tradition, the Masorah, verse 11 and 12. But ye say, okay, not thus saith the Lord, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And he suffer, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Now, what in the world does this mean? It is Corban. What is Jesus talking about? Corban is a transliterated word. You know what that means? It's a word that really isn't translated into another language. It is the Greek word. And Corban literally means a consecrated present or a gift. Okay? So you could say, but you say if a man say to his father or mother, it is a gift. Okay? So according to the Masorah, the traditional oral law, not the written law. What did the written law say? Honor your father and mother and don't curse them. Right? But according to the traditional law, the oral law, all one had to say to sidestep honoring your parents according to the Torah or the written law was, it's a sacred gift. I can't use my money to support my parents, and the money was, it's a gift of God. And by this magic word, one was free from supporting their parents, and guess where the money was put? Into the temple treasury. And who did the temple treasury support? The Pharisees and the scribes. So the oral law made up this law, and they said, you know, the children had the responsibility to care for the parents. Okay? Honor your father and mother. This was long before the days in which we live in, where there's such things as life insurance and health insurance and all those kind of things. Long before that, right? Where families needed each other. Where a widow mother left to herself was really in trouble, especially if she didn't have any sons. Jesus had compassion on the widow of Nain because her only son is dead. Right? So parents, when they got older, depended on their children. But children could get out of caring for their parents simply by coming to the temple and saying, this gift is Corban, it's dedicated to God. Here it is. And the Pharisees, Sadducees, the rabbis accepted the gift. And the parents were left on their own, no problem. And that put aside the Torah, the oral law, honor your father and mother, for the written law. And by doing this, Jesus says in verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So making the word of God of none effect. None effect means void. Okay? What Jesus is saying here, your traditions literally void the Torah. And Jesus said, and I could go on with even more examples, right? Many other things you do. So this just wasn't one thing. So you're upset that my disciples didn't ceremonially wash their hands, which is foolishness. It's oral law. So now Jesus will teach the truth. Okay? Tradition, tricksters, here's the truth. Verses 14 to 23. And Jesus teaching truth to the people. Look at verse 14 to 16. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus teaches truth to the people, and he says, hearken unto me. You know what that's saying? Jesus is saying, listen up! Listen very carefully! It's a most pointed, this comes from Robinson's word pictures, Greek word pictures, and this is a quote. It is a most pointed appeal to the people to see into and see through the chicanery of these ecclesiastics. So Jesus is saying, listen up, listen to me, don't listen to them. It has nothing, it doesn't matter if you don't wash your hands before you eat. That's not going to defile you. It may make you sick. We're not talking about health here. This has nothing to do with health. It has to do, well, I've ceremonially washed.
So therefore, everything I touch will be holy, and I will be taking this in, and it will not defile me. Jesus said, nothing you put into your body will make you holy or make you defiled. Eat whatever you want within the context of the Jewish faith at this time. Understand what we're saying there. It's not what you eat. It's not even the dirt that enters your body that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you that makes you unclean. Like the traditions the Pharisees and the scribes taught. That's really what makes you unclean. And Jesus says, listen to me. Jesus is saying this. Listen to me very carefully. I'm sure that the Pharisees didn't like that. So Jesus teaches truth to the disciples. And like very often, the disciples, they don't know, right? What have the disciples been taught all their life? The traditions of men. Yeah, there's some truth thrown in there. Torah's thrown in there. But they've been taught the traditions of men. And in verse 17, the disciples asked Jesus a question. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So now his disciples come in and they say, Lord, what were you talking about? And Jesus illustrates, and he says in verse 18, and he says unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Now, that's not a compliment. He says, Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. So that word there that is spelled draught is pronounced draught. And what does that word mean? It literally means a privy or a waste bowl, okay? We have toilets today, okay? So what is Jesus saying? What goes in you doesn't make you unclean? What happens to all the food you eat? You get rid of it. That doesn't make you unclean. Doesn't matter what you eat. Ooh, maybe you ate something that was bad. It gets out of you quicker, right? Maybe, you know, and but that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, that's not what makes you unclean. It's not what goes in your mouth, into your stomach, and into your intestines that makes you unclean. It's what goes into your, what? Your heart. It's what goes into your heart. It's our hearts that are the problem. What does Jeremiah tell us? Familiar passage of Scripture. All of you probably have heard this, maybe even know it by memory, but Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his own ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So it's the heart that's wicked. And Jesus went on to say that, and he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth him not. For from within, out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So Jesus explains the truth. You can wash your hands until they're rubbed raw. That is not going to solve a single spiritual problem that you have. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But what did Pilate do before he crucified Jesus? He washed his hands. What did that do? Did that wash away a single ounce of guilt? Nope. Ceremony. I'm not mocking here, but you can sprinkle all the holy water you want, and it will do nothing. Nothing. You know, the problem is the heart. And what Jesus was telling the disciples, who has the heart problem? Well, everybody does, but who really has the heart problem is the Pharisees have the heart problem. It's not what goes in a man that makes him holy. It's not what goes in a man that defiles him. What comes out? Because what comes out of a man reveals his heart. Right? We probably have heard a lot of language that comes out of people that reveals their what? Their heart. So how do we apply this? The Pharisees and the scribes were more concerned about tradition than truth, as Jesus taught. Jesus taught truth. But the Pharisees and the scribes were more concerned for tradition. And by doing this, they cast aside the Word of God. They even denied the Word of God. And it proved that their hearts were defiled. They may have had clean hands. They may have had the cleanest dishes and pots in all of the neighborhood. But their hearts were defiled. How many today are fooled by the traditions of men? How many? Too many, right? How many mainline denominations tell us that, you know, the traditions of men? It's okay for women to be pastors, right? When the Bible says, no. You know, it's okay to be homosexual, right? When the Bible says, no. It's okay. Mainline denominations say this. I can take you to churches today that we don't have to drive very far from, where these churches say that it's okay to, you know, be confused about your gender and even change your gender when the Bible says He created them male and female and didn't make a mistake. And on we can go with the list, right? How many people are deceived? Come to this church and buy these candles and light these candles to get your family out of hell quicker or purgatory quicker. Say this mass to get your, you know. And in the meantime, when you're doing that, what are you doing? Paying. How many of the masses are fooled by the religious tricksters of the day? Stadiums are filled when faith healers come. And they do their shuckster and trickster acts. And heal people. And so much of that has been proven to be just that. Tricksterism. But what about the truth? Remember, this is on the heels of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the people wanting what? Bread. They don't want the truth. And the reason they don't want the truth is because they haven't been taught the truth all this time. And Jesus comes teaching the truth. John 8:32. You're familiar with this verse as well. And ye shall know the... And the shall set you free. What sets you free? Truth. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's not traditions. It's not listening to the tricksters. It's the truth that's important. You know? You know, we even need to be careful, friends. I'm going to be sensitive when I say this. We need to even be careful when we come to church on Sunday that we're not doing it just because of tradition. But truth. We get to come and gather together and worship God. Because God wants those to worship Him who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, it's Sunday morning. Got to go. routine is fine. But when tradition is elevated over truth, we cast aside the Word of God. We make it of none effect. And I don't want anybody here being accused of rejecting the Word of God. And sometimes we talk to these people who have been bottle-fed on all of these traditions, and you share the truth with them and they reject it. Just like in Jesus' day. Jesus was rejected by the religious leaders because they thought more of their tradition than the truth. And this helps us to understand a little bit more of this battle. And Jesus' ministry is beginning to change now. We'll see. Okay? Yes, there's still crowds following him, but not as many. And eventually it gets to the point where they're all saying, crucify him. And they're all running away. Because they rejected truth. Friends, it is truth that matters. And it is the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. This is what people need. The battle today is not over transgenderism. It's not over homosexuality. And anything else. The battle today is what is truth. This is truth. And continue to unapologetically proclaim and speak truth. Because that's what people need. They don't need to switch political parties. They don't need to come to your side. They need to obey the truth. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to know that this is a serious battle that was going on in Jesus' day that continues to go on today. There are so many traditions that people follow. We might not call it a tradition. But yet, Lord, when the traditions of men are elevated by tricksters, the Word of God is cast aside. The Word of God is rejected and denied. And that is held up more than truth. Father, thank you for opening our eyes to your truth. And help us to know your truth, to see your truth, to believe your truth, to proclaim your truth. And then, Lord, help people that we come in contact with to also believe the truth. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.